He kōna I purangi tēnei nā te reo irirangi o Aotearoa.
Hi, I'm Sarah Voitelatu. We have a special episode for you today. After the Soviet Union invaded Poland from the east in 1939, many thousands of Polish families were deported to Siberian forced labour camps. Then Nazi Germany attacked the Soviet Union, which led to an amnesty for Polish citizens. Those families that could leave tried to get as far south as possible. In many cases, only their children made it all the way to safety. Some Polish orphans were resettled in places like South Africa and Mexico, but a group of 700 would end up travelling on a US Navy ship bound for New Zealand on the other side of the world.
Dzień dobry, I'm Piotr, producer for Stories from the East and West, based in Warsaw. You're about to hear the story of Stanisław, Stefania and Wisza, who I met in Auckland and Lower Hutt this year.
My name is Stanisław Manteris, and I live in Lower Hutt in New Zealand. After the invasion of Poland by Russia, 3 weeks after the invasion of Poland by Germany, our story started. We lived peacefully in a village in eastern, what was then eastern Poland, what is now the Ukraine. My father was a farmer, and we were part of the around 1.5 million of Polish citizens who were deported by the Russians right across the Soviet Union. I was the youngest in our family. I was only four when I was deported. But my memory of those events is much more clear than the events of yesterday.
I'm Stefania Zawada. In February 1940, the Russian soldiers arrived and they told my mum to pack. My mum actually, she didn't break down, but she went berserk. And she started screaming. And, you know, my brother got a bit afraid and he started putting things into suitcase. And Mum would throw it out. We were taken to the nearest railway station and loaded on trains.
My name is Malvina Zofia Rubisch-Sweeters. They got us to the railway station and the train was there, but the train was not for people, but to carry animals across. So it just had a little windows at the top of the carriages.
Very crowded, extremely crowded. We were all squeezed up. The stench was, I think I still can remember the stench. Cold and utter lack of hygiene, where a hole in the wagon would suffice for the toilet.
I remember someone saying, "Oh my God, we're crossing the border of Poland." And then people started crying and started praying. And that's how we left the border of Poland. And we were taken a long way to Russia. We were in the train for about almost 3 weeks. And by the time where we got out of it, it was in Russian Siberian forests. We found that they were deported from Lvov, intelligentsia, teachers, lecturers, you know, taking them to Siberia and telling them, "This is where you're going to die, this is where you're going to die."
We were transported to the northern part of European Russia, which is in the Republic of Komi, and we were taken to a labor camp. This is a forced labor camp, where we were intended to work as slave labor in the forest, felling forest. It was a timber industry. My father worked in the forest. My two elder sisters, who were there at that time about 14 and 12, They were also made to go into the forest.
There was constant hunger. Everything was rationed. You worked, you performed your norm, and you were given a chit of paper, and then you could collect your bread from the shop.
The food, it was not enough to sustain life. You know, you had to, you virtually had to sell things that you had with you. By the time the 2 years elapsed, we had hardly anything. Clothing was, you know, rags, and not sufficient to survive in the cold there.
Of course, things changed when Germany attacked the Soviet Union.
At 4 o'clock this morning, Hitler attacked and invaded Russia. Without declaration of war, the German bombs rained down from the sky upon the Russian cities.
And Russia finds herself on the side of allies, and our government in exile wants to save as many people as possible. And that's where General Anders managed to start Polish army. But as far as the civilians were concerned, Polish civilians, only about 36,000 managed to be taken out.
In our camp, the Polish people got together and they got a train and tried to get out as far as possible.
It took us almost 4 or 5, perhaps up to 6 months to traverse the distance from the north of Russia down to the Republic of Uzbekistan. By that time, my parents were very, very ill. So there was only the two of us left, my sister and I, because the rest of the family was taken to the hospital. We had no food at all. Virtually we'd have gone out to the fields and eat the roots of the local wheat. Then somebody might give us a small piece of dried bread, suhari, they call it. And that's how we survived.
There was news of Polish army going to Iran to fight in the Middle East. And the Polish army took as many orphans as possible because in interim there were many families, like my husband's family, where both parents died.
We were taken through Caspian Sea to Pahlevi, that's the harbour in Pezha, and the International Red Cross was looking after us there.
Very shortly afterwards, when the orphanages in Isfahan were ready, all fitted out with beds, etc., we were taken to Isfahan by buses.
The ladies in charge of this place, the Polish ladies, they wanted to start teaching. And the lessons were in the sand. We had nothing to write with, so finger in the sand. That was the blackboard.
We had lessons only in the morning because most children were, if not sick, they were completely depleted of all strength. And we had rest in the afternoon.
Iran became dangerous for the Poles to stay there for a number of reasons. One is the Russians were really, their influence in the north of Iran was very strong. There was a good chance that we would be back to Siberian slave camps. There was also the Germans knocking at the Caucasian mountains for the oil fields. So the Polish government in exile, situated in London, tried to prevail upon the countries, allied countries, to take some of the children for the duration of the war.
Groups were sent to Africa or something or other. And so there were fewer and fewer of us there. And at one time, Polish embassy noticed that, New Zealand invited 700 Polish children and caregivers. New Zealand? New Zealand was there. Never heard of New Zealand. So my mum wrote to my father, who was in the army, and Dad wrote a letter and said, "It looks as if we're not going to have free Poland we're fighting for. If you can, go to New Zealand, and if I survive, I'll join you." And my mother had shown this letter to some of the ladies who were caregivers looking after the Polish orphans and so on. And about 17 of them, on the strength of my father's letter, put their name to come with the 700 Polish children invited by Mr. Peter Fraser, Prime Minister of New Zealand.
When we arrived in Bombay, which is now Mumbai in India, and we were told that we're going to be transferred to another ship to take us to New Zealand. And so, from Charles' recollection, it was a huge, like a 10-story building, which it probably was. And it was carrying New Zealand and Australian soldiers on leave from the war front back to their homelands. And that trip was food, was just, I'd never seen so much food any time. The Americans fed us breakfast, and breakfast was consisted of anything that you can imagine. There was, it would be nan porridge, and there would be bread, and there would be buns. And so that trip to everybody, I think most people remember that trip to New Zealand fondly, although many of them were seasick and all that, but regardless of that.
Thank you to the families for sharing their stories and the Embassy of Poland in Wellington and Piotr Wołaczko and his team. This story is part of a longer two-part podcast series produced by Stories from the East and West. Go to their website culture.pl and search for Pahia Tour. It will officially be released in 2020, but Voices listeners can hear it now. If you want to hear more voices or stories from the East and West, subscribe to episodes on Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, please rate us. That way more people get to hear these stories. There are other podcasts you can hear too, like White Silence, a joint RNZ Stuff podcast that looks more closely at the Erebus plane disaster. And if history's your thing, check out the Aotearoa History Show. Anyway, thanks for listening. I'm Saravui Talatu. Ka kite anō.